Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lah wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika lah ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فألهمها فجورها وتقواها قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها صدق الله العظيم.
We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon the greatest of all creation, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once again we remind ourselves that it's through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon us that we have been blessed with the honor of sitting in the sanctity of the masjid, listening to the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran. And so today we continue with the Surah Al-Shams. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala initiates the surah by taking an oath on various different creations. And moving on towards the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the humankind. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. In the final verse you mentioned how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created mankind. And we had indicated towards a previous verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created mankind in the best of all ways. And then moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired the soul, or inspired the nafs with its fujur, with its instincts of evil and piety. And then in the next verse, inshallah, I'll translate all three verses and then we'll begin to speak. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily, that person has succeeded who purified it. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. And that person has failed who destroyed it. Now, in the first verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that Allah has inspired mankind with instincts of evil and piety. What this means, first of all, fujur. Fujur normally refers to sins, but there's another word as well, which is fisq. You know, we say in Urdu, fisq and fujur, say these words in Arabic as well. So the difference between the two is that fujur is to sin openly, and fisq is when you sin privately. So by extension, fujur is actually much, much worse, because fujur means that person has no shame. So he sins openly. Whereas with fisq, at least there's the element of shame that, you know, he hides his sin from others. So just a little tangent there. Moving on, this verse indicates that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given mankind the ability to sin, and he has given mankind the ability to be good, to be righteous, to act righteously. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this, these values and these instincts and these abilities, and they are inherent within us because it's part of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Along with this, with these two abilities, Allah has given us free will, so we can choose to do what we want to do. And also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then inspires us to do, you know, then we are inspired to either do good and bad. However, the means of these inspirations are instigated by different creations. As we know, the inspirations to do good, you know, sometimes we have a feeling that, oh, why don't I pray 2 rakats of salah? Or why don't I give some charity? Why don't I do something good? These inspirations that come from the angels. The angels that come and they inspire us to do good things. And sometimes we feel like doing a sin. You know, why don't I do this sin? Or why don't I do that sin? This comes from the waswasa. This comes from the whispers of the shayateen. And this has also been referred to in very early on when we first started this, when we mentioned min shadril waswasil khannas. Inshallah, towards the very end of the lecture, if we reach there, if we have the time, then we will come back to this as well. This with regards to the angels inspiring us to do good, and the shayateen who are evil jinnat. Yeah, they are evil jinn. They whisper and evil thoughts into our hearts. So, when a person is inspired to do good or to commit transgression or evil, first it begins with a thought, a feeling within the heart. And then a person begins to make this intention. And then eventually a person goes and acts upon that. If a person, you know, takes this to the fullest and he acts upon his, he makes his intention and he does the good deed, then even with a good intention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward one for this. And in terms of committing sin, if a person was to then act upon the whispers of shayateen, then he will be punished, and he will be written down as a bad deed. And if he was not to do ask forgiveness for this, or if he didn't do tawbah, then a person will be questioned and punished with regards to this on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. The concept of goodwill, this sometimes people have this doubt that, you know, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put this inherent ability within us to commit sin, then, you know, why should we are forced to do this, and why should we be questioned with regards to this? So the element of goodwill within this, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse he explains that we have been given both choices. We have been given, you know, we've been inspired to do good and to do bad, and then it's the choice. So this element of goodwill that you know, answers that question when some people try to make this excuse that, you know, I didn't commit sin, you know, of my own volition. I committed it because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made me do it. وَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. This has also been mentioned in a narration that Imam Muslim rahimahullah brings on the authority of Hazrat Imran bin Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala an. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was questioned with regards to this fate, that, you know, why should we be held culpable for the bad things that we do, and why should we try to make an effort? Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recites this verse, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Verily, the person who cleansed it has succeeded. This word zakkaha, zakka yuzakki tazkiya, it comes from the word zakah. And zakah basically means to cleanse. That's why generally, when we refer to zakat, we speak about the annual fard that we complete, which is taking out 2.5% of one's wealth. This process, it cleanses one's wealth. This is why it has been named like this. So, zakah yuzakki tazkiyah means to cleanse. And it's a broad term, and it includes monetary cleansing that we've just mentioned now. It also includes physical cleansing, and it includes spiritual cleansing as well. So monetary cleansing, we understand this. When you give charity, it cleans out your wealth. Physically cleansing oneself, we understand this also. When we make sure our bodies are clean, we make sure that we are in the state of wudu, we are, if we need to do ghusl, then we are in the purified state, and our clothes are clean, etc. This brings us to the concept of spiritual cleansing. Now, again, we mentioned last week that we were going to talk about this topic. Spiritual cleansing, there is much to speak about on this topic. Now, we understand that when a person is spiritually cleansed, we'll talk about the end product and then inshallah we'll speak about it further. When a person is spiritually cleansed, then what will happen is his desires will be in conformity with the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so a person will desire those things that make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. In this, Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Malik Kandlawi Nawarallahu Manqadahu mentioned that the purpose of life is tazkiyah, is to spiritually cleanse ourselves, and then as a result we will do those things that make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. Also, there's another opinion here, and in a different way, in a roundabout way, it comes to the same conclusion. And this has been mentioned by Hazrat Qadi Sanawullah Panipati Rahimahullah, and he mentions the opinion of Zujaj. He says that, and he explains the connection between, you know, all, in the last session we mentioned all the different oaths that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the soul and cleansing the soul. So Zujaj, he explains the connection between these two things. And he explains, and it's a long, you know, the kalam is quite long, but I'm just going to explain the conclusion of it. The conclusion is that in the first several verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws our attention to many different aspects of the creation, and it illustrates a picture of how the world runs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the sun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the moon and the day and the night and the earth and the skies and everything around us. And then through this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is drawing our attention that to the fact that look at how the entire world and the universe, it runs. And it runs so smoothly. There's no issues, the sun never stops rising and setting, it doesn't crash into the moon. So many different billions and trillions of things are going on at the same time, and nothing ever goes wrong. So that now our attention is supposed to go towards the fact that there is somebody who is running all of this. You know, if you see a madrasa and have a very good system, you know, you see that the mashallah, the students are coming out, they're praying very nicely. And so then our next question will be, who has made this system? Who runs this system? Whose idea was it? There's got to be someone behind this. So naturally, when we look at the skies and the earth and the heavens, our attention goes towards the Creator, that there must be somebody who is running this. And when this happens, first of all, the first thing that happens when our mind goes towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we make this connection, our aqidah, our belief system, it becomes complete. Because now we have come to the conclusion of the entire purpose and the question of the universe. We have come to that conclusion that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala behind all of this. And then Now, what happens? We've mentioned this before as well, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a quality, mentions a favor upon us, what is our responsibility at this time? Our responsibility is to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. And we've also mentioned this in the past. What is the greatest form of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? To do a'mal. So when it comes to being Muslim and being a mu'min, there are two parts. One is our belief system. So that is connected to the heart and spirituality. And the second is the physical aspect of being a Muslim. That's carrying out all the good deeds. This is that the first step is we make this connection. Our aqidah becomes perfect. After that, this will lead us to do a'mal. And then the second, the physical aspect of being a Muslim will also become complete. This is the conclusion of the kalam of Qadi Sanaw, of Zujjaj, which has been mentioned by Qadi Sanawullah Panipati rahimahullah. In under the verse, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. This comes in Surah Al-A'la. Hafiz ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentions, أَيْ طَحَّرَ نَفْسَهُ مِنَ الْأَخْلَاقِ الرَّذِيلَةِ وَتَابَعَ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَى رَسُولِهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does this mean? Tazakka, zakka. What does it mean? Hafiz ibn Kathir rahimahullah says that it means to cleanse the soul of vices and bad characteristics, and to follow and to make it follow that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, we have to look at the ahadith to gain a broader understanding of this concept of tazkiyah and spiritual cleansing. And in particular, we should look at the Imam Nawawi rahimahullah. He has a collection of 40 ahadith. Some of them are small, some of them are large. And if we have a look at, for those who can understand Arabic, they should read this book. It's a very, very amazing collection. And whichever language, it's such a famous book that it's been translated, I'm sure it's been translated into English and Urdu numerous times. So we should look at this, and we should look at the ahadith that are within this collection. And if we look at these ahadith, we understand, from a generic perspective, we understand the concept of tazkiyah. And before going on to explain it, I'm going to bring an example. And this example is just something that I thought of myself, so just something that will help us understand this. I'll give the example of a jug. A jug that we normally put water in, and then we pour the water into cups, and then we drink this water. Now, the simple fact is, whatever you put into the jug, that's what you're going to get out. So, if you put one drop of urine into this jug, and then you fill the jug up with water, and then you pour the water out, the water that comes out of the jug is going to be, it's going to be contaminated, and it's going to be dirty, and it's not going to taste nice, and it's going to give you, problems. So, and if it's a clean jug, you put water in and you'll get clean water out, and you'll be able to benefit from the things that come out of this. It's very simple. And if there is some dirt inside this jug, what do we have to do? What do we normally do? We'll, get the fairy liquid, we'll give you a good scrub, we'll give you a good clean, make sure it's completely pure, and then after that we'll use it again to use it for its purposes. This is the same example as the heart. And when we look at these ahadith, the heart is a container. And our senses, the hawas that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, are like funnels. And the information or the things that we take in from these senses, they go directly into the heart. Okay? An example is that if we look at even with our eyes, then it's going to have a negative effect on our hearts. And if we listen to evil, then we have a negative effect on our heart. Remember the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, narrated by Abdullah bin Masud radiallahu ta'ala, and he said, سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول الغناء ينبت النفاق في القلب. The music, it breeds hypocrisy within the heart. So when a person listens to music, and this is the evidence that I'm telling, it's not just something I'm saying, there are funnels into the heart. So you listen to music, the music goes straight into the heart. My Nabi عليه الصلاة والسلام said, this breeds hypocrisy within the heart. So likewise, when we look at evil, when you look at something that's haram, then it has a negative effect on our hearts. When we talk about bad things, at the same time, so this is like the jug, we're putting dirty things into it. What's going to happen? The effect of this will be that a person will commit evil. Because whatever you're putting in, that's what's going to come out. Yeah? Remember what I said at the beginning as well. The evil whispers of shayateen. Okay? Just keep that in mind as well. At the same time, if a person listens to good things, for example, he listens to the recitation of the Holy Quran, then it will bring the nur and the light of the Quran into his heart. It will bring goodness into his heart. If a person, he looks at something good, for example, he looks at the Quran, yeah, or he looks at a scholar, a pious person, or he looks at the Kaaba, then this will bring goodness into his heart as well. Or he looks at anything with a good intention, like he looks at the sky and he looks at, as we mentioned, and he contemplates on the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this will bring goodness into his heart. And the goodness in his heart will mean that it will allow him to do good things. It's very simple. Remember the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, inshallah I'll mention this hadith afterwards. So, now, the next step is that, okay, we've understood that, you know, if I listen, if I use my senses to, you know, take in evil, then my heart will become dark with the sins and I will end up doing bad. And if I listen to, if I do good things, then this will also make me do good things. So, this second part, this is tazkiyah. That what we are trying to do is, we are trying to cleanse the heart of all the evil within it. Now, when a person, كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمَ خَطَّى وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ, the Prophet ﷺ said that every son of Adam is a sinner, and the best of the sinner is the one who makes tawbah. Now, when a person has wronged, and this is normal, this happens, what do we have to do? So the first thing is that we have to make tawbah. Remember the hadith when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when a person sins, a black dot appears on his heart. And if he makes tawbah, then the dot goes away. But if he doesn't, then next time he sins, then he'll make another black dot until the entire heart is black. And the entire heart is so full of sins that it'd be very difficult for this person to then do anything that's good. I remember one of the last things I heard my late Hazrat Rahimullah, the Shaykh Maisu Mutala Rahimullah say, and it was the time of Eid, and he mentioned that when we wear white clothes, how much care do we take of the clothes? Yeah, if one, you know, we are at a wedding, we're wearing white, and one oil stain comes straight away, we notice it. And, oh no, you know, you're worried, you're stressed, you go to the bathroom, you try to wash it, clean it. If you can't, then you quickly change it. And you always, you know, you try to, you know, if you're going to do something, some work, you'll tuck it away or you'll take it off. And then you take very, very good care of your clothes. Because it's white. The same way, Hazrat Rahimullah mentioned, and that in the same way we take care of our white clothes, we should take care of our hearts. That one black dot comes on it, straight away we can't rest, we're stressed out. How can I get rid of this black heart? How can I get rid of this black dot? And what do we do straight away? We make tawbah and we do ruju ila Allah, we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we cleanse it. And we clean this heart of the black dot. Now, one of the main, there are many, many ahadith in that collection of Imam Nawawi rahimahullah that I mentioned. But one of the main ahadith that all of this kalam is based on is the hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَلَا وَإِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُغَى إِذَا صَلُحَتْ صَلُحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبِ رواه مسلم. The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that in the body of mankind there is a piece of meat. When it is good, the entire body is good. And when it is corrupt, the entire body is corrupt. Understand that this is the heart. So that's what we're trying to say here. That it is our duty to make sure that our heart is spiritually cleansed. And the way that we start to act upon this mission is to go on to the path of tasawwuf. What is the path of tasawwuf? Tasawwuf, some people have all sorts of negative views with regards to this Sufism and all of this kind of stuff. And this is because of certain parties who have, contaminated the name. However, in reality, and it reminds me of a story when an individual, Ru'asa'ul Ahrar, he was passing by Saharanpur in India, and he seek permission to meet Hazrat Sheikh Mullah Muhammad Zakariya Kanlawi Nawarallahu Marqadahu just for a very, very brief, mulaqa and meeting. And he said, I just want to meet Hazrat Sheikh, and I think he was going to Raipur. So he goes into the room of Hazrat Sheikh Rahimullah, and he says that, I just got one question. Ye tasawuf kya balahi? He goes, what is this tasawuf that I've been hearing a lot about? And he goes, I'm going to Raipur, and I'm coming back in a few days. And he said to Hazrat Sheikh, I'll give you a few days, think about the answer, then give me the answer when I come back. And Hazrat Sheikh Rahimullah shook his hand, and he said, I'll give you the answer right now. I don't need a few days. So he said, what's the answer? He said, the answer is that the beginning, it starts with innamal a'malu bin niyat. It starts with making your intention sincere, and its end is an ta'budallaha ka'annaka tarah fa'in lam takun tarahu fa'innahu yarak. This is part of hadith of Jibreel. It was also mentioned in the sermon today delivered by our Imam Mufti Salih Sahib, that, and it means that you, the end part of this tasawwuf is that your iman goes to such a high degree that when you're worshipping Allah, you worship Allah as if you can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you can't achieve this level, then at least you worship Allah as if Allah is, and you have it in your mind, it's there in your mind that Allah is watching me. And this is what is known as ihsan, and is mentioned by Jibreel alayhi salam, mentioned in the hadith of Jibreel. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this. So, how to then act upon this and how to start this? It is of utmost importance to first do this, we understand this. And one of the things that we need to do is you connect yourself to a pious person, a sheikh kamil, who, first of all, he is sincere himself. He has the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his life, and he has been authorized and given permission to guide people towards tazkiyah, towards the spiritual cleansing of their hearts. And an important part of this is suhba, and spending and staying in the company of the pious. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Holy Quran, وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Yeah, fear Allah and be with the truthful ones. To spending time in the company of pious people, it has a very, very powerful spiritual effect on us. And a few examples of this is that it is known as Hazrat Sheikh Zakariya rahimahullah. He was a very, very pious person. I could say very probably almost 100% that the reason we are sat here today is because of his. Hazrat Sheikh Zakariya rahimahullah, the worry he had for the ummah, and the you know, the concern he had, and this included the people of the UK. When Hazrat Sheikh Malaysu Mutala Rahimullah came to this country, Hazrat Sheikh Rahimullah gave him special coaching on how to bring deen into the UK. And today we are sat here in these grand masjids. Yeah, a favor we owe it to Hazrat Sheikh Rahimullah. So he says that when Hazrat Sheikh Rahimullah was very, very young, he was just a child, his father, Hazrat Mullah Yahya Sahib, Nawarullahu Marqadahu, he would go and visit Hazrat Sheikh Mullah Rashid Ahmad Gangohi, Nawarullahu Marqadahu. He was an even greater Sheikh of the past. And Hazrat Sheikh used to come and play. He was just a child, so he used to play. So many scholars say that just him being there in his company, that must have already started him on the path of this path and contributed greatly, a significant amount, to who Hazrat Sheikh Zakariya Rahimullah became in the end. So this is one example. Another example, and nearly time to finish now. Another example is, we all know who Hazrat Sheikhul Islam Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani Sahib Damat Barakatuhum is, and his brother Hazrat Mufti Rafi Usmani Sahib Nawarullahu Marqadahu. Hazrat Sheikh Mufti Taqi Sahib is considered to be probably, if not by consensus of the ulama of all continents, one of the greatest scholars alive today. And his spiritual coaching and cleansing was done at the hands of a person who was not even an alim. Yeah, his name was Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi Rahimahullah. Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi Rahimahullah. And he spent time in the company of his sheikh. And this affected him to such a point that he became the spiritual coach for two of the greatest scholars to grace the face of this earth today. And it really, comes to light. This fact comes to light when the Sheikh Mullah Muhammad Salim Dora Sahib Hafidullah mentions this event quite often. And he mentions that once there was a very historical event where Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib, he visited Darul Uloom Deoband. Yeah, so it's a very historic moment. All the ulama of India were present. The cream of India were all present. All the greatest scholars of India were there. And Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib was sat on the masnad and he was speaking. And in this event and in this majlis is such a historic moment where every single word is, everyone hangs on to every word that is said, and every word and letter is recorded and, you know, it's pondered upon. And in this majlis, where Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib, the greatest scholar, and he's addressing all the great scholars of India. And in this, you know, majlis, Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib, he quotes Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi, rahimullah, who wasn't even an alim. Yeah? And he used to go to Mufti Taqi Sahib, Mufti Rafi Sahib, they used to go to Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi every Monday, I think it was, or Monday or Tuesday, every week without fail. No matter how busy they were, you know, tending to the needs of the ummah, they would attend his gatherings, even though he was not even an alim. But for the sake of this, for the sake of their own tazkiyah, they would take out their time and they would, spend time in the suhbah of Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi rahimullah. Now, the second thing and the final thing I'm going to mention is, once this is done, once you have connected yourself with a sheikh will normally teach you how to do dhikr. This is the main element of tasawwuf, is dhikr. And what happens when a person does dhikr? We mentioned right at the beginning of the lecture that فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Yeah, the angels, they whisper good things to us, and the shayateen, they whisper bad things to us and they try to make us commit sins. But it's mentioned, we mentioned this in Min Sharril Waswasil Khannas at the very beginning, that when the shayateen, they come, it's mentioned in the hadith, he sits on the heart of Ibn Adam and he, you know, he has like an injection, he puts it inside the heart, and through this injection he puts evil thoughts. When this goes inside, we start to think evil and we want to commit evil. But when the heart is busy with the dhikr and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shaitan has an allergic reaction and takes it out and he runs away And this is the shayateen that has been described as khannas. We mentioned this right at the beginning. Yeah? So when a person goes onto this path, he puts his hand into the hand of a shaykh and he begins to do the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then shaitan can't get to him anymore. So when shaitan cannot get to him anymore, he can't make him do any evil. So what's going to happen? The angels come and they inspire him to do good things. And this is when we end up being the manifestation of the verse, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا, that our life will become all about the good deeds. What will our desire become? Our desire will become the things that make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. And this is when your tazkiyah has been done. And this is when you only want to do good. And this is when you can become like our very own Hazrat Malla Ismail Wadi Sahib Rahimullah, who used to, in the old masjid on the right hand side, he used to stand there praying namaz for hours and hours and hours. And many of us sitting here today have witnessed this with our own eyes. Yeah? That's when you become to that point where your desires just, you know, you just, your desire is within salah. And you get so much enjoyment out of it that you don't even know how many hours are going by. And you're just enjoying it so much, just like other people like me, we enjoy eating food. Yeah, the pious people, they enjoy praying salah. So, the khulasa is this, that we need to, first of all, consider this a very important thing and of absolute necessity for us to clean our hearts out. And this will allow us to do good. And we can do this by connecting ourselves with a sheikh, Sheikh Kamil. And we mentioned the qualities of this sheikh, and to through his guidance, we start to listen to him and, you know, start doing the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then this, inshallah, will allow us to reach that level where our tazkiyah is complete and we become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we have love for the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our hearts, and this manifests itself into our actions of our lives. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes us the manifestations of قَدْ أَفْلَهَا مَنْ زَكَّاهَا, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify our hearts of all evil and allow us to take the inspiration of the angels and allow us and to give us tawfiq to do good deeds. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the true love for Allah and the true love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the true love for the Sahaba and the Tabi'een and those that came after them and all the pious people right up to our own teachers. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the evil of the shayateen. Wa akhiru ameen, 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 ya rabbal alameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa azwajihi wa ajma'in. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.